We are on the verge of one of my favorite times of year. It is a Thanksgiving long weekend. And regardless of your specific traditions, these days are often characterized by food, family, and football, but for many of us, also known for frustration. It's time to go the second mile and having a peaceful family gathering. Hey, this is Travis Agnew, and thank you for joining me for the Second Mile Podcast, where we seek to live out the words of Jesus from Matthew 5:41, where he says, if anyone asks you to go 1 mile, go with him the second as well, that we want to do more than just the bare minimum in following Jesus. That's why this podcast exists, to help equip you and encourage you to go the second mile in following Jesus. And so on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving Thursday, I want to talk to you about how to have a peaceful family gathering. So I don't know what your traditions are like, right? I mean, I think everybody's family, we have different traditions that we've had throughout the years. And honestly, in 2020, Thanksgiving's probably going to feel a little bit different for you, depending upon what state you're in or even what country you're in, right? Because I have people that tell me they listen from different places around the United States and also around the world. But for Americans, as we celebrate Thanksgiving holidays, it is very different, even state to state right now. Some states are encouraging or discouraging or even warning people about not having more than 10 people in their family gatherings. And I saw someone sent something to me that one state was saying you can't have more than 10 people, but the same state is also saying that you can have up to 25 people if your pet dies and you need to have a pet funeral. So some people are just going to say that they're having a funeral for their turkey and invite the entire family. However it is, this year obviously is going to feel different, right? Maybe your family is still gathering together and maybe you're doing different protocols. Maybe you have some people that won't be gathering with you that typically do because of COVID-19 or different travel restrictions or different things like that. But whatever the situation is, with all the fun things that are characterized by Thanksgiving, because typically I know a lot of people, Wednesday you're preparing, maybe getting off work. Thursday, you eat a lot and, you know, watch a lot of football. Friday, some of you will go out into the death trap that is known Black Friday shopping, which I know that's going to look very different this year as well. Saturday, typically a college football day, but a lot of games being postponed or canceled. And this is just a very unique week, right? But with all the exciting things, a lot of times people can dread having time with their family and extended family because of strained relationships and things that can be somewhat just volatile in those situations. And so you're not responsible for how everyone in your family responds, but you are responsible for how you interact and what you do. And so what I want you to consider and think about is, how can you do your part so that your family gathering this week could be the most helpful and peaceful and hopeful family gathering that you've ever had? And really, it's got to be on your responsibility to make it happen. So for those wanting to have a peaceful family gathering, and you might be saying, Trav, you don't know my family, that is impossible. And so what I want to encourage you is that I think it actually is possible to do. First mile believers would say, you know what, I'm going to be physically present at my family's get-together. I'll be there, right? But you might be checked out. You might be on your phone. You might just be trying to hold your tongue. You might be trying to distance yourself from people. First mile, maybe physically present. But second milers, I want you to encourage you to be mentally present. That not only are you in the room, but you're like actually in the room. You're engaged with the people that are there, the ones that you see on a typical day-to-day and those that maybe you see from time to time. And so how do you do that? Well, Thanksgiving is all about us stopping and saying thank you, God, for all the wonderful blessings that he does give us. And so one thing to consider is what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it is a good thing to do, and it's actually God's will for us to be thankful. And so we don't want to get sidetracked because we can't focus on him and all the blessings that he has given us. So I want to give you 6 things that will maybe help you make sure that you do have a peaceful family gathering this Thanksgiving. The first thing is this: I would encourage you to avoid controversial topics. And you might be saying, well, which one? Well, there's a few of them this year, right? Honestly, we're still in the midst of presidential upheaval and uncertainty. And, you know, maybe your family all votes the same and maybe they don't. And so you need to consider, what is the best way to use our time? And so you don't want to avoid controversial topics. You don't want to try to provoke other people. people, the only time that you have together and you're going to spend it on controversial topics, you're really never going to get down to the heart of where everybody is. The second thing I would encourage you to do is limit media usage. Now, I know there are going to be certain things that you might want to do or even do together. I know some families who they always watch the dog show on Thanksgiving afternoon, or maybe you always watch college football on Saturday, or different things like that, or maybe you watch Elf or Home Alone or something as you're walking in the Christmas season, right? Because that's kind of how we do things in the United States. Whatever your tradition might be, right? I think it's okay to do something if you're doing it together. But in recent years, with the rise of just mobile devices, you don't want it to be such a situation where everybody's in the living room interacting with what everybody else's Thanksgiving dinners and family gatherings look like, when you actually could be looking at the people that you're in your room with, right? Like, instead of staring at people that aren't with you, like, why don't you stare at the people that are with you? And so you might want to really consider, like, how do I limit media usage so that we're actually in the room together and we're interacting together and enjoying one another? And the third thing I would encourage you to do is to create enjoyable activities. I know sometimes, especially if you got different ages and, for maybe some of you might say, okay, we always have a football game in the backyard. And some of you might have some people in your family that are too young or too old or whatever it is, that might not work. But are there some things that you could do that are enjoyable activities together? And are there some board games? Are there some card games? Is there just getting outside and going on a walk or doing something where it's really typically getting yourself out of the routine? I think sometimes we do the same thing day in and day out. Sometimes in an opportunity like this, it's important for us to say, you know what? What's some of the most enjoyable activities that we can do? I can remember years ago that one of my sons looked at me and said, I was on a Christmas day, that he said, you know, I feel like we've been playing games and reading books and like doing fun stuff in the yard together. And it kind of feels like, you know, just like a good day of just us spending together, right? And that's kind of the goal, that we don't want everybody to be so separate, doing their own things, different rooms, different technological devices. But what are some things that you could think through that would actually be enjoyable activities for everyone so that like you can actually spend time? And I think that the more that you can loosen up, laugh a little bit and do something out of the routine, and especially outside if the weather permits in your area, that the more that you can do that, I think it just sort of lets everybody off their guard. I think that we've been in front of the TV enough this year. We've been inside enough this year. We've been behind masks a whole lot this year. So right now, this may be a really good time to say, okay, what are some enjoyable activities that we can do as we gather together as a family and prepare for it and look forward to it and get everybody excited as you get started in those process. All right, so we're talking about how to have a peaceful family gathering. First three things we said was avoid controversial topics, limit media usage, and create enjoyable activities. I want to give you three more to consider, and this really has to do, now we're getting into more of the specific relationships, but number four is initiate meaningful conversations. Let's get beyond the cliches, let's get beyond the kind of the standard, well, how's work going, how you been doing, how's your thing? Like, let's really get down to it. So like, initiate some meaningful conversations. So instead of you telling every single story in the room and trying to make everybody laugh at it, like, what if you started initiating meaningful conversations with people? And once again, trying to avoid controversial topics, but really get investigated and interested in what your family member is going on at school, or what their how their job has changed, or certain things that they're passionate about. And even if it's not a hobby or a concern or an interest of yours, like, if you could show a meaningful conversation with people in your family. And so I would even encourage you that if you think through, if you've got less than 10 people coming to your house, right? Because you got to follow the rules in your area. If you have less than 10 people, like, my goal to you would be, can you have at least some type of spark to a meaningful conversation with each individual? And within a few hours of being together, that shouldn't be difficult, around the table, around the living room, outside in the backyard, like, to stop and say, I want to talk to this person about a specific thing. And I think that the more you can open up on meaningful conversations that concern them, they'll also be open up when opportunities for spiritual conversations come up. You can do that, but you need to initiate it. Number five would be pursue peaceful responsibility. And what I mean by that is I've been around the block enough to know that you might have to be gathering with people in your family that you don't like right now, or that maybe they don't like you. You've been frustrated. You've been getting into arguments and whatnot, and now you got to get stuck in the same room and act like everything's okay. You mix like oil and water, and sometimes someone says something and everything blows up. If that's you, here's what I want to give you a little bit of freedom to know. You may not be able to have a peaceful Thanksgiving this year, but you can be peaceful at your Thanksgiving meal this year. And you go, what's the difference? God has never put the responsibility on you to make sure you have peace. He has put the responsibility on you to try to initiate it, to try to pursue it. And Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, listen, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So does God's word say that you have to live at peace with everyone? No. It says as much as you can, you need to do your part to try to live at peace. And what God is going to see is your initiation, that you at least try to. You made the responsibility. You took that on yourself to try to be peaceful. Even if the other person is not, God sees your effort, and I think God honors that. And so I would encourage you that you need to pursue peaceful responsibility in any kind of reconciliation that needs to happen. If you're cordial, if you're nice, if you're kind, if you're forgiving, you can't change the other person, but you are responsible for what you do. And the sixth thing that I would encourage you to do to have a peaceful family gathering this year is to highlight undeserving blessings. That's right. So have an opportunity where you can step back and say, how can we highlight undeserving blessings? And the end of a year that's been so wild and uncertain throughout it, I think this would be a good time for your family or friends or whoever's gathered up to say, okay, in the midst of what's probably the most memorable and frustrating and exhausting year of most of our lifetimes, in the middle of all that, what can we look back and see what God has done? Like maybe in the midst of being social distance and you were kind of quarantined, that you actually get to spend more time with your family. Maybe it's caused you to start getting outside and working out more. Maybe you've stopped and looked around at all the blessings you do have. Those are good things. Well, share them, thank God for them, and share them with your family. Psalm 107:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And you can have a peaceful family gathering by starting to be thankful right here and right now. I hope to see you on the Second Mile.